Live from our KGGF studios here in downtown Coffeyville, I'm Sam Spank. Glad you're with us here on this Wednesday morning. Like we do so many time and time again, it is the K-State Research and Extension Offices as agents. Katie Townsend and Jacob Weber joining us in studio. Katie, Jacob, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
It is a damp, wet, what a evening that was. I'm not sure exactly where you guys are living, but was it as crazy last night as it was here? I mean, it just consistently rained basically for about 3 or 4 hours last night here in Coffeyville.
I tried to sleep through it, and I think it was fairly successful.
Oh, gotta love that. Yeah, you know, I think I slept through the big lightning and thunderstorm somehow, but I've consistently heard that rainfall last night, but it was crazy. It certainly was. So glad to have you guys here in studio. But let's talk a little bit about that rain and kind of the effects as well, you know, around the yard, around the garden.
That's
right. Jacob, we'll start with you here as, you know, you had mentioned some things about plants even wilting, as well as maybe any other damages that this amount of water, because you know that plants need water, but maybe not this much.
Well, they need water, but when we have this type of weather and frequent rainfall, and we get to the point where we have soil saturation, what that means is that all available pore spaces in the soil, and from soil science, we learn that soil is composed of about 50% pore space, and within that pore space, the ideal relationship to water to air is about 50-50. In other words, 25% of the volume of soil should be water, and the other 25% air. And when we get to soil saturation, we're getting up to 90 to 100%. Water in that available pore space and no air. And if this is just for a brief period, short period of time, the air returns back to the soil, and that is very beneficial to the plants because plants, even though we've probably learned in school that plants take in carbon dioxide and give off oxygen, that's in the photosynthetic process, but plants actually make their own food in the photosynthetic process. And in the process of food, they have to use some of that food to grow and to develop all their potential for producing crops. And so they're respiring. They're taking in oxygen and giving off carbon dioxide. They do that in, through the roots and through the leaves. And so when you have soil saturation, you have no air or no oxygen in the soil, in the roots. Of course, plants don't have a circulatory system like we do. We can take in oxygen through our mouth and goes into our lungs and gets into the blood system, and that oxygen is distributed throughout the body. But plants have to diffuse it through their cells, and so its roots have to get their oxygen from the soil. And when you have soil saturation, there's no oxygen. If you have soil saturation for a long enough period of time, 48 to 72 hours, for some plants it may be shorter than that, for other plants much longer than that, they start to, roots start to shut down. In other words, I've seen this situation in a garden where there was extended period of soil saturation, and tomato plants, wet soil, and they're wilted. They're actually drying up because they're not getting any water from the roots, because roots have to actively transport that water, take it inside and send it up to the top, and they weren't doing that. The roots are actually dying, and we can see this in a lot of plants, some that are very sensitive, such as yews, the shrub, the yew, very sensitive to soil saturation. It gets root damage, and we turn go from a wet, saturated situation to a very dry period following, and sometimes those plants die because the root system has collapsed on it and has not recovered.
What a catch-22, you know. Yep. You almost flood it so much that it can't get any oxygen, and then it dries up so quickly that it potentially can kill it from there on out. Does the maturity of the plant matter at all, or can, I mean, does it...
In some cases, it might make a difference, because a younger plant, especially annual plants with a young root system fairly close to the surface, not established very deep, when it's closer to the surface, there's actually greater chance of having that oxygen returned sooner, but not necessarily. And then there are some plants that will grow in water, such as the rice plant, which has the ability to move oxygen or air from the top part of the plant down to the roots. And so very efficient and very beneficial in rice production. One of the reasons the rice fields are flooded is not because the rice needs all that water, it's that they're able to survive in the water, and the weeds that typically will grow in a rice field can't survive, so they're eliminated.
Yeah. Well, is there anything, you know, because obviously all that we can really do is kind of look at the forecast, but is there anything that you do to prepare your garden or your yard really at that? Because, you know, when you look at the forecast and there's 2-3 days, maybe a potential downpour, that, you know, that 48 hours of saturation, like you said, could potentially be there. Is there anything that you really can do to?
The one thing that a person can do and prepare for periods of a prolonged wet weather is if you are living in an area where there is a potential for extended periods of soil saturation, a low-lying area, a raised bed would be an ideal environment, a remedy for it. It works very well. The raised beds help you bring the level of the soil up around the surrounding soil, the level that the soil plants are going to grow in, and you have natural drainage. It'll take the water out of the soil very quickly. Flip side of it is that raised beds are dry, and drier than during the summer when it's dry, and so you may have to irrigate more frequently to maintain a good, healthy crop.
So I had a question for you, and it may be a simple one, but when we have the points where even the rivers at this point are kind of threatening to kind of go over their banks and such like that, is there, you know, a very bad effect that could come with the spread of sediment and different chemicals as well? Maybe somebody sprayed the weeds, something like that, and it gets into to yards and things like that. I mean, is there a potential for danger within that? Or
That's an unknown to me. But with yards, it's always a good idea to be very judicious on application of any type of pesticide. And that means you want to follow label directions. Okay, there's a potential for runoff, and as you get increased amount of rainfall, of course you're going to get increased amount of dilution, so the effects are not going to be as bad. In the near vicinity of an area, say, and I've seen this misapplied herbicide, especially herbicide called Primatol, applied in a residential landscape to control unwanted vegetation, like on a driveway. I've seen this. It's strictly off-label to do this because it's definitely, it's a good product where it's used properly, but Primatol is very soluble in water and will go off-target. In the near vicinity of the where that's applied, it will go off-target and it will leach into the surrounding soil and damage nearby plants in an undesirable way. I've seen this in some very dramatic picture opportunity type situations to demonstrate how damaging this material can be when it misapplied.
Yeah, that's kind of the point that I was trying to get to, is just the misuse of some of those, especially applying it right before a storm like this and the dangers that could come behind it. So, well, I think we've chatted a little bit about the rain today, and no doubt about it, it's going to be raining all day. But Katie, I'd like to hear from you. We still got Katie Townsend here in studio. Does the rain affect you in any way? But anything for our listeners out there, or what do you got for us today?
It does. It's almost camp season.
That's right.
Wildcat District kids are going to 5 camps this year, or most of them have the opportunity to go to about 5 different camps. So that has us planning for a lot of Plan Bs.
And
there what you go. To do, because we spend a lot of time outside at camp, a lot of time at pools and things like that. So we are working up some different activities. But before all the rain hit, we got some good sunshine school enrichment stuff done with some local schools. So we went and planted corn plants, sweet corn, with Cherryville Lincoln Elementary there in Cherryville. So they got to soak up the sunshine and grow some great plants. We talked about Just about everything, mostly about the root system and growing things. I think it's really important for kids to have their own garden and understand where their food comes from, and having their own corn plant to take home was probably, hopefully they're still alive, I guess is what I will say.
Yeah.
We talked about how to plant them and where to plant them, that they needed lots of sunshine, so every kid had to plan out their own spot at home where they were going to take their corn plant. I don't know how it's doing in all this rain, so it would be interesting to check back in with those kids and see the survival rate.
See the survival rate. Well, great. Let me, we're coming up here pretty quick on the top of the hour, so I'd love to dive deeper into more camps that are coming up this year, as well as everything that you guys have been up to. I know I've got a caller on the line right now that may have a question for Jacob and Katie as well, but we are going to have to run off here. So again, it's Jacob Weber and Katie Townsend in studio here with us on this Wednesday morning. You two, we will join you here in just a moment here on the Mighty 690 KGGF.